iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here at iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and today I'm joined by Bhupinder Anand, who is joining us for our mini series of podcasts that we have here on iGlobal Radio, talking about the financial markets and what they mean to you and me. But in this case today, we're talking about more about financial advice. And today's subject is all about life insurance. But talking about that in just a few moments' time, first a few words about Bhupinder Anand himself. Now, Bhupinder Anand is the MD of Anand Financial Architecture. IFA is based in Uxbridge. Alongside Anand Wills and Trusts, he actually connects law, tax and financial planning to provide a holistic one-stop estate planning service. Bhupinder's skill is in simplifying the complex world of financial planning, helping clients to design their future financial home and then source the most appropriate financial furniture to achieve their goals. Bhupinder, a very warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us here today on iGlobal Radio.
My pleasure, Tony. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Roger D. Likewise. We're talking about financial planning, but we're talking about life insurance today in our programme. And as it's one of many series of programmes that we're going to be doing together, this is a very important subject because the first question I'm going to throw at you right away, Bhupinder, is that why is it so important for people to understand life insurance? And why should they be listening today? Because life insurance is just there. We've heard about it for years and decades. Why is it so important to us? And why should we be actually be paying attention to it?
Great question, Tony. And it really sets up the importance bit is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, repetitive a little bit. But why it's important to look at it today? Because a typical Asian attitude, and I see this all the time, is, oh, I don't want to talk about that because that means I'm talking about death. And somehow, miraculously, talking about death somehow brings it closer. Now, Tony, you and I are old enough to realize that that does not happen. There's no science that backs that up. So let's get over this Asian mentality that we've got to talk about the one thing in life that is inevitable. There's an end to it. You know, the phrase I use is that we don't have a freehold over life. We have a leasehold. Occasionally we get ill and our lease gets extended. And reincarnation is when we renew our lease.
Indeed.
But on the grounds that we don't control the end of that lease, it is in someone else's hands, we ought to make a decision. And the decision is when that happens, or if it happens sooner than we might have anticipated, an accident perhaps, or illness as we're seeing through this pandemic, our family is protected. So it's important. You know, we all have dreams and aspirations of what we want in our life. Why should those dreams and aspirations die when we die? Our family deserve to be able to continue the family's dreams. And the one thing that will enable that to happen, on top of all the, you know, we're not talking about the emotional loss here, but the financial loss, is a pot of money that will allow them to pay off debt, allow them to have the money to sustain their lifestyles, to pay for their school fees, their holidays, food on the table even. And I call it, why this is important, allowing our families to continue to live with dignity. That's what life insurance is.
So why is it that we tend to not talk about it or address it even in our day-to-day lives? Because you just highlighted some very important factors, which we generally take for granted, but may not be there forever. So what's the human psychology behind this from a professional point of view, from your point of view?
It's a I'll get round to it answer.
Right.
You know, it's a yes, I know it's important, but there's more important things, like I've got to insure my phone. I've got to insure my car. I've got to insure my house. Well, how many times does your house burn down? Right. Very rarely, but you'll insure it. You'll insure your car for a fraction of the cost of insuring the person who drives the car. And if the person to drive the car isn't there, your family will never have another car. You know, where's the money going to come from? So it's this partly I'll get round to a laissez-faire attitude. And Tony, let me tell you, the only people who proactively call me to buy life insurance is somebody who's just had a heart attack or a cancer. or a stroke. And I say, well, why didn't you call me before you were going to have that heart attack, cancer, or stroke? And they say, well, I didn't know I was going to have that illness.
I simply didn't think of it,
And so I'm very blunt. I say straight to my clients, if you have the date of death in your diary, I'll make a diary note 1 month before to come and see you and buy your life insurance.
Which doesn't happen, let's face it. I mean, that's
impossible. None of us have that date.
Nobody's got a magic wand for the future.
Exactly. And dare I say, over the last 18 months through the pandemic, lots of people have come to realize this, that life is something we don't control. Things can happen that cause all sorts of issues. So I want to spend some time. Yes, it could be this. Oh, life insurance, I know everything about it, is what a lot of other people would say. I can go and buy it online. I've got to tell you, Tony, every 2 days, 3 days, I'm talking to somebody that's made big, big mistakes with the way that they bought life insurance, which could be they didn't buy enough. They bought the wrong type. They didn't buy it for long enough. I'll explain that. They didn't put it into trust, which is a really important part that will come towards the end of this.
So today we're talking to Bhupinder Anand, who is a financial specialist, and life insurance is the subject that we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about in a moment what types of policies are there, how much insurance do I actually need, which Bhupinder touched on a moment ago, and some tips for buying life insurance, and what exactly does critical illness insurance mean, and what is income protection insurance as well. Well, very important one, because we've just been through the COVID crisis, still going through it. So it's quite a hot subject as far as we're concerned.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. Bhupinder, if I may come back to you on that fantastic grounding that you gave us about not understanding and not knowing what the future holds for us. How about if I said to you, right, there's lots of different policies out there, but I'm pretty confused. I'm seeing the media adverts surrounding all this, but I don't know what kind of policy to buy.
Great. I'm pleased when I see media advertising on this. But don't fall for the traps of what they're offering. Yeah, I really do not understand on some of these TV adverts or radio adverts or online adverts. They say you can buy life insurance for £30 a month or £14 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
What life insurance? How long for? How big is the sum assured? So it's a meaningless statement. I'm surprised that they can get away with it. And the chances are you're going to buy something that may have a low start premium and go up in the future. So there's lots of things to know. So let's just explore some of the types of life insurance, Tony, that people could be looking at, and the pitfalls of some of the mistakes they make. So first of all, price is not everything, okay? People think it's a commodity. It's like a can of beans. I just want to go and buy it as cheap as I possibly can. Well, things like life insurance, you need to make sure it's right, fit for purpose. It's no good buying something cheap that when the time comes and it's needed, it doesn't do the job.
Hmm.
For example, if you go and get a mortgage, and to buy a property, and you've got what's called a repayment mortgage, where your mortgage is going down every month because you're paying interest and you're paying capital. A lot of the mortgage brokers who don't, who I'm going to put here, I'm going to say a few controversial statements here, Tony, you know what I'm like, is be wary of buying your life insurance via a mortgage broker.
Right.
The reason I say that is that mortgage broking is a full-time job. It's hard. It's really hard work. I don't envy those people that are mortgage brokers. For them to then do life insurance is almost like an add-on. And I've yet to see any of those sell a policy that is fit for purpose. In fact, I was having a discussion with one the other day, and she just simply said to me, I don't have time to do that job properly. All I do is it just to cover the mortgage.
Wow. So,
first type of insurance that you might look at is an insurance called a decreasing term assurance.
Yeah.
A decreasing term assurance, a DTA we call it, follows the shape of your mortgage. It's cheap. It's cheap for that reason, because the sum assured is dropping all the time. The problem with that policy is if you died, let's say you took a 25-year policy, you died at 24 years and 11 months, the value might only be £1,000, literally what's left on your mortgage. What's much better value in my books is a level term assurance. Level means the sum assured, the payout, stays flat all the way, even though your mortgage is falling. That means whenever death, should it occur, happens, that sum assured is paid out. Family use what they need to pay off the mortgage, and the difference belongs to them. So if you were insured for $100,000 and there's only $1,000 left on your mortgage, your family won't lose out. For that extra bit of premium,
I see.
You've got a massive potential value.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Moving on from that, a lot of people don't know how long I should buy my term for. Usually to cover a mortgage. But what about beyond that? I think there's more than covering your mortgage. You perhaps ought to look at your youngest children and making sure that their future is protected until they're, say, 25 themselves and they may be independent.
Hmm.
Maybe longer. Talk to a good financial advisor and say, I want an array of premiums. I want a 20-year, 25-year, 30 years. You'll be surprised. The longer term doesn't actually increase the premium very much. Make sure that whatever policy you buy is a guaranteed premium. Now, what do I mean by that? Some really cheap policies are what's called reviewable policies. Reviewable means the insurance company, if they feel like it, and a lot of them are doing it now because they've been paying lots of claims in the last year.
Indeed.
Are able to, on a reviewable policy, to increase your premium. Well, that means you're insuring the insurance company.
Yes.
That's not the business we're in.
How profound.
Pay a little bit more at the beginning and have a fixed premium that you know is going to sustain.
Mm.
You can have an increasing policy so that the sum assured stays pace with inflation, because otherwise the real value is going to get eroded. You could have a renewable term assurance. So I'm trying to illustrate here, it isn't a case of just one product, one price, how cheap can I get it?
Yeah.
You could have a policy that runs for 10 years, 15 years, whatever it might be, with the option to renew it.
Okay.
Now, the option means there's no medical question. So if you've paid off all your liabilities and you've made all your money and your family is fine, maybe you don't exercise the option. But the option is, without medical evidence, you can increase the term of the policy. That's a valuable piece of
option. It is indeed.
An option to have. Because in 20 years' time, your health is likely to be worse than it is today.
Yes.
And if you tried to buy a policy, you may not be able to. So a renewable policy lets you do that.
Okay, so what I'm understanding here is that there are lots of different types of policies available.
Loads.
But getting the right advice and getting the right policy at a certain time in your life, and indeed for the long-term future, is paramount to ensuring that you have the right policy to be able to live a sustainable and happy life for the future and for your family as well. Mm. We are talking to Bhupinder Anand, who is a financial specialist today, and life insurance is the subject and topic of discussion.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iglobalnews.com.
Log on to iglobalnews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
Bhupinder, I'd like to ask you, in terms of the amount of insurance that I actually need to take out, and I know you've touched on this briefly already in our conversation, but what sort of amounts are we looking at in terms of insurance? How much insurance do I actually need, and how do I determine that?
Yeah, so the starting point for most people is have enough to pay off your debt.
Okay.
So your mortgage, maybe your buy-to-let mortgages, any credit card debts, you want to make sure that you don't leave liabilities behind. So enough to cover your debt is a starting point. Beyond that, you need to leave a lump sum for your family that allows them to continue the family's dreams as a ballpark number. And what you would take into account, perhaps, of course, is that the properties, if the mortgages are paid off, if you've got investment properties, they're going to give you income that has no liabilities against it. So you could factor that. But as a ballpark number, I look at around 20 times whatever your net expenditure is. You need to be able to cover that. So look at your monthly outgoings right now. take off from that outgoings what income will still come in if you passed away. Now, ignore a number of things here. Ignore your spouse's income, because what I want to look at is the ultimate, that you leave your spouse or partner with financial freedom.
To sustain them. Okay, understood. Yeah. Right?
That if they want to work, they can work, but they don't have to because you left enough of a legacy.
Mm.
Number two around that, do not count your death in service. So what's death in service? A lot of employed people who are working for generally larger companies will have something called death in service. What death in service does is, if you died while you're an employee, you will get typically four times, maybe five times your basic salary as a lump sum. Ignore that, because the amount of times I've seen people, again in the last year particularly, who've been made redundant, where their death in service has stopped and they've become ill, and now they can't buy life insurance. Mm. So unless you know absolutely that you will never be made redundant, that you will always work with the same company, treat your death in service as an extra bonus. Okay, so once you've deducted what you know you're going to get as income, rental income, whatever it might be, take a number of 20 times the remainder. That should be your sum assured. So if you're spending £2,000 a month, £24,000 a year, you need in the order of £500,000 of life insurance. Now, it sounds like a big number, but I'm only assuming you're going to invest it and get a 5% return on it. Now, banks aren't even paying anywhere near that. So if I actually took what interest rate you'd get, you'd probably need several million.
Correct.
So those days are gone, Tony, and you know, we know this now, that £1 million is not a lot of money. Okay. So anyone who's just saying, well, I need 50,000, I need 100,000, get serious.
It doesn't quite work out like that. That's the fantastic analogy of, and I suppose reassurance, listening to that, because suddenly I've got a different understanding of how much insurance that I actually need. And this death in service situation that you've raised, particularly since we've been through the COVID situation, is particularly relevant right now as we discuss this subject. So today, as we talk to Bhupinder Anand, who is a financial services specialist, and life insurance is the subject of discussion today.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iglobalnews.com.
Bhupinder, I'd like to ask you, and you mentioned this, that we don't know what the future holds. We don't know whether we're going to have a heart attack tomorrow or we're going to get some form of illness that might disable us for the future. So therefore, we need to perhaps look at critical illness insurance. Mm. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. Nobody knows that. Nobody's got a magic wand to look into tomorrow. Why do I need critical illness insurance, and what are the pitfalls around that?
Great. I'm going to combine the subject of critical illness insurance with income protection.
Okay.
Because in a way, they're both different ways of protecting your income. So when I speak to people for the first time, I say to them, what's your most valuable asset? And they say, my house, my pension fund, maybe my ISA fund. And I put to them, no, your most valuable asset is your ability to produce income for the rest of your working life.
Absolutely. How big is that? Yes.
Okay, it's not about this year's salary. It's all those salaries you're going to get that you might not if you fell ill. So two ways of protecting that income so that the income can be used while you're still alive. So another way of putting this, life insurance is in case you die. Critical illness insurance is in case you die a little bit.
Mm.
You have a heart attack, you have a cancer, you have a stroke, something where the consultant says to you, even though you've recovered and gone back to work, say, you need to take it easy. But you say, I can't afford to take it easy. I've got to have the income to service all these debts.
That's right.
To look after my family. So an income protection policy pays you an income whilst you're unable to work. So it could be for years or until you go back to work. Whereas a critical illness insurance policy pays out a single lump sum. If you're diagnosed with something like a heart attack, cancer, stroke, multiple sclerosis, kidney failure, loss of limbs, loss of sight. There's about 20, 30 horrible things, which everybody watching this, Tony, I am sure knows somebody who's had a serious illness.
Indeed.
Because the ratio is that one in three people, get this, one in three people by the age of 65 will have either heart attack, cancer, or stroke. So next time you're sitting with two of your friends, look around and say, which one of the three will it be? Because it's likely to be one of them.
Oh, my goodness. What an incredible wake-up call. Yes.
And so what a critical illness policy does, pays a big lump sum to either pay off your debt or give you what I call the financial cushion. The tips around that, be honest when you're taking out the policy. If you've had medical problems, don't try and hide them. Because what you don't want to do is have to pay all those premiums thinking that you're secure. And if a claim comes and then it's declined because of what we call non-disclosure.
Yes.
So a lot of people on death, on life insurance, it's pretty clear. One day you're breathing and you're alive and one day you're not. There's a payoff.
That's right. Yeah.
On critical illness cover, the claim is paid, given that I said it's if you die a little bit. The claim is, did you die enough? So there are strict definitions.
Clarify that for me, because...
Well, what I mean by that is, what's a heart attack?
Yes.
What is cancer?
Yes.
The insurance company will have its definition of what those things mean. And in order to make a claim, did you die enough to qualify for a claim? So that's the way I put it. I'm just a different way of looking
almost
at it.
Almost sounds quite cruel, actually, to be honest.
Well, it is a little bit, but you know, you've got this thing. You want to know, am I eligible for a claim?
Okay.
So number one, there's severity. And so you've got to qualify. By the way, there are some newer policies which will pay out a lower sum assured on a lower grade cancer or a lower classed heart attack, for example. Maybe even angioplasty.
I see. So there are different classifications.
There are different levels. But in all of those, the bad stories you hear is where the insurance company didn't pay out. What you don't see is why didn't they pay out? And the usual reason for not paying out is because either you didn't qualify under that definition or you're non-disclosed.
Yes.
You didn't tell the truth when you took the policy out. So don't hide things. It's better to be clear so that you know you're not wasting your time and your money. The final thing I'm going to say on your life insurance, and it's subject for another day, Tony, is make sure that your life insurance policies are in trust. We don't have time to explain why, but just accept that they must be in trust. And you need to know how that trust works. Tony and I will do a session another day, which will break that down for you. So keep tuned for that.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Bhupinder Anand, you are the MD of Anand Financial Architecture. And if people listening to us and watching us today want to know more about life insurance, the pitfalls and the advantages of, how can they go about getting in touch with you and getting more advice on the great tips that you've shared with us today?
Great, Tony. So I give out my phone number and email. Either way is you can contact me. And if you've got a policy of, say, $300,000 to $400,000 or more, we need to talk because it's probably not been set up properly. And I say that from 30 years of experience. So my phone number is 07949-161-241. And my email is my first name, Bhupinder, Bhupinder, at Anand, A-N-A-N-D, associates, plural, .com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I would love to be able to help you.
Please note, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. All investments can fall as well as rise in value, and you can lose some or all of your money. Additionally, this podcast does not constitute an investment recommendation.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.